الكريم. يا بلس السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. Continuing our topic of Amar Bil Maruf wa Nahy Anil Munkar, enjoining good and forbidding evil, and the Prophet ﷺ methodology. So I would advise you that if you want to write anything, write it what you understand of its importance, so that it will remind you. And if you want to write it, just the meaning of a hadith, not to say and quote it as a hadith, but the meaning of the hadith, so that you get the message. And then if you want the reference, then inshallah, I will provide you when you want the word by word, the hadith or the translation of the hadith. But the major purpose is so that you can refer to it. And when you encounter a situation somewhere and you don't know, you come home and you look through your notes, and for next time you know how to tackle it best. So last point which we were discussing was taking into account the position of the person who is striving or who is counseling or who is forbidding evil or enjoining good. Which, in other words, mean yourself. And we also quoted some ahadith as well on this. So carrying on from there, very briefly I mentioned the example of father, son, the teacher and the student, the mother and children, elder in the community, the imam, the scholar, and they pray. So they have certain position in society and also in the community, in the household, that they can adopt some ways which other people can't. Like Sayyid al-Mawjuda sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also made full use of his this position to execute the duties of Prophet. So another hadith we just reading and listening the translation of it. A companion of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "I was a guest of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, peace and blessings be upon him. One of the poor to whom he played host, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, came out to check on his guest during the night. And he saw me lying on my stomach." Is tarah ke aam log jo hai wo so jate hain ke that they are completely sleeping on their stomach. Now, others were guests as such, but this person was very close to and known by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and there was a certain amount of freedom, certain amount of familiarity, and it was not the first time that person was there. You can say. So Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, he saw me lying on my stomach. He touched me with his feet, with his foot. In other words, slightly kicked and asked me and said, "Don't lie like this. This is the kind of lying that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hates." According to another report, he kicked and woke him up with his foot and said, "This is how the people of hell lie." So it's reported in Ahmad, in Tirmidhi as well, and Imam Abu Dawud also related this in Kitab al-Adab in his Sunan. So this type of approach, everyone cannot do it. or take, because it can annoy the other person. So you have to make analogy between you, yourself, and the situation, that if a person is in such a situation, you are like elder brother or father, or in a situation, or a, let's say you are a friend who you are mostly free with, and you know he would not mind, and you have warned him before as well. So in that situation, but for normal other type of person, it is not. There are other examples in Rasulullah's life which he should follow in that situation, where there is not, there's a barrier, or they don't know them, each other very well. So this method was of rebuking was appropriate for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam because of his position and status. It is not alright for any person who wants to rebuke another for sleeping on his stomach to kick him while he's asleep and wake him up, and then expect him to accept his advice and thank him for it. Wotanin, or he might actually be annoyed rather. The same applies to hitting a person who is making a mistake, or throwing something like pebbles or whatever at him, like some of the companions did that. But it was their high status that the people could not say anything. And they lie even throwing stones or throwing pebbles at them. They with love. So some of the hadith and reports in a hadith in Darimi reported that from Sulaiman ibn Yasir that a man called Sabir came to Medina and started to ask about the ambiguous text of the Quran. Those verses which are mutashabihat, which are not clear. Which some verses are clear, muhkamat, do's and don'ts. And some are not clear in their meaning, one just have to accept them as they come. Especially those verses relating to the sifat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the qualities of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Where there are so many meanings which can be given to them. And Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam have not mentioned, specified the meaning, it is better to accept and leave them as they have come in the hadith and in the Quran, not to make judgment for the meaning of it. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran, those people who you find doing this are probing the meaning of those verses of the Quran where these meanings are not clear and there is ikhtilaf and ambiguity and disagreement on the meaning of it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran, in the Surah Ali Imran, that these people have a disease of heart. They have ill will. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned about the rightly guided people that they just accept whatever comes. وَالرَّاسِخُونَ فِي الْعِلْمِ يَقُولُنَ آمَنَّ بِهِ كُلٌّ مِنْ عِنْدِ رَبِّنَا. Those people who are sound in knowledge, they just say, this is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we accept. So this includes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's coming, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's hand, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's feet, or Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's face, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's establishment on the throne. So all these kinds of, just accept them, that they are true in the manner which suits the majesty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we accept it. And we do not give any meaning from ourselves. Which is again. Some of the later scholars, they gave them particular meaning, but they did not say that this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala means by it, but they just did a counter, you can say, defended, because some people were exploiting the meaning of those verses, and then they came out and they suggested those, that kind of meaning which is suitable for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala according to the other verses and ahadith. So they just protect people. So many people say that meaning, Imam Malik rahmatullah alayhi said that establishment of throne is known, the state, the kafiyat is unknown, and this is not mutashabihat, and you don't know the meaning or the kafiyat, it is mutashabihat, it is ambiguous then. So many people have been misguided, and misguided themselves and the others. Inshallah, when we cover the belief of Ahl al-Sunnah wal-Jamaat, we'll go into much more detail regarding this. But this is the treatment. So this is not happening first time. It happened in the era of companions in the first century as well. That one person came to Madinah to Munawwara. These people who are mostly entered new in Islam or were living sinful life, and now they have turned to pious life, and they are new to the Hadith and Quran. They try to give their own meaning and whatever they understand, and think after 14th century, maybe we are the people who have most understood. So one person came, so in the reign, in the caliphate time of Sayyidina Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he came named Sabir and started to ask about the biggest text of the Quran. So who was he asking from? Asking from the companion. So companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they stayed quiet, they did not say to him anything. So then he said, oh, this person, they are not answering me, so I am more knowledgeable. Look, they are known, I know more. Like it is the attitude of those people who, when they go to scholars, and scholars, because of their ignorance, they don't want to bother answering and arguing with them. And they just say, وَإِذَا خَاطَبَهُمُ الْجَاهِلُونَ قَالُوا سَلَامًا, and the jahil address you, just with peace, leave them. And do not answer salama. And they then become more arrogant. Now look, because he cannot answer us, he just stayed quiet. So the companions of Rasulullah was there. And who understood the hadith and the sifat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala more than them? So they did not give any meaning as such to us, which is not suitable, which people announce in this century and some of the previous ones who are giving it. Limiting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala without any evidence. Saying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is on the arsh and not here and not there and not here, and he's on us, creating such ideas which cause misconception in the mind of Muslims. So those meanings should not be, you can say, probed. Like for example, I'll just give you an example, and I just want to finish this as soon as, inshallah, we can, after 3, 4, 5 lessons. There's a hadith in the Sahih Sitta that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Day of Judgment will say, my servant, I was hungry and you did not feed me. And I was thirsty, you did not quench my thirst. And I was sick, you did not visit me. The person, the servants, people will say, how is it possible? You are free and pure from all these qualities of which are of the creation, to become sick, to eat, and the needs of the creation. You do not need anything. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say that such and such servant, my servant was hungry, starving, and he came to you. However, you knew about him. And you did not feed him. And if you would have fed him, you would have found me there, and I would have considered that you fed me. And my such and such was thirsty on so many occasions, where you had, for example, financial resources or the water, or you were able to relieve that person from his thirst or his need, and you did not. And if you would have quenched his thirst, I will regard it today that you have quenched my thirst. And my such and such servant was sick and ill, lay ill, and you did not visit him. So can you see? Now if a person, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had not mentioned the meaning of what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is meaning by it. And these people like this person who mentioned, he is little better than us, but people of our tribe who are the false claimants of following Salaf. Who were the real followers of the Salaf at the Ahl Sunnat wal Jamaat, that they all from the beginning they followed. They would have said, oh Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, yes, he feels hunger. We just want to say, because we have read in the Hadith. He becomes ill. It is the quality of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How can you say that? But the person who adopts this golden principle, he says that I won't say anything. And which resembles creation. It is only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows what he means by it. It suits his majesty. He had freed himself from all those deviances. Or in Quran, in one hadith, the Hajri Aswad is mentioned as right hand of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Abi Khalid ibn Walid was given the title of Saifullah, Allah ki talwar. So you go around saying, ye Allah ki talwar, Allah fights with this sword. Khalid ibn Walid radiallahu ta'ala, this sword of Allah, Saifullah. Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala, Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in a hadith to Hazrat Hamza and Hazrat Ali, wo Allah ki sher hai, the lion of Allah, Asad Allah. So banda kahe, wo ye sher hai duniya mein, this is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, ye Allah ka sher hai. So there is a reference, there is a subtle reference to their quality, the bravery of Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala. But so what I'm trying to explain to you is that it is not possible for a human being to understand in totality the qualities of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the nature of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is sufficient just for whatever comes in the Quran, Hadith, one simply believes in it and do not give any meaning from your own opinion to it and accept as it is. If Prophet ﷺ and any of the companions have given such a meaning, you accept that meaning, otherwise you don't go in. And do not argue as well in this matter. Because so this person comes to Madinatul Munawwarah, who is filled with companions of Rasulullah ﷺ, full with companions and the Tabi'een. And he was himself a believer, he was a Tabi'een. But very, very great scholars were there. So somehow when he began to talk and the companions, some of it stayed quiet, Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala came to know that this person is asking such and such. Hazrat Umar sent for him and he had prepared some date palm branches for him, and Umar asked him, who are you? Aap kaun hai? He said, I am the slave of Allah. Main Allah ka banda hoon. Main Allah ko pooja karta hoon. Allah ki ibadat karta hoon. Hazrat, I am the slave of Allah Sabir. Umar took hold of one of the palm branches and hit him saying, I am the slave of Allah Umar. He kept hitting him until his head began to bleed. And he said, oh Amir al-Mu'mineen, enough. The idea that were in my head have gone now. Sunan ne darimi, hadith related. So in actual fact, these kind of people need treatment like this. But because now there is no Hazrat Umar and no such person who can, because they would not say to Hazrat Umar that no, we understand the hadith more than you. They could not say this to him. In spite, he said to many other companions, but Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala thought that, yes, it is not a matter of to argue with them, I am the companion and student of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Zozam said this and you are saying this. No. This is the type of treatment these people who go into ambiguous texts and create fitna and disruption and chaos in the Muslim Ummah. That only like this, those ideas will fade away from their mind. So obviously this is relating to the Amar bil Maruf and Nahi anil Munkar. This was the position of Hazrat Umar, who can adopt this position. But me and you cannot so apply it now in this time. People have argue with those people and answer them and try to subdue them with knowledge and with wisdom so that somehow they come to the correct path. But they are not in a position. But yes, if there is someone who has this position, like for example Mullah Umar Afghanistan, he had this position and he also used his position when people asked him different questions regarding different sects and or any other person who was devious and creating disruption and misguidance in the people. Imam Bukhari rahimahullah reported that Ibn Abi Layla said, Hazrat Huzaifa was in Al-Madain and asked for a drink, and a person gave him a vessel of silver. He threw it at him and said, I would not have thrown it, but I told him not to do it, and he didn't stop. The Prophet forbade us from wearing silk and brocade and from drinking from vessels of gold and silver. He said, these are for them in this world and for you in the hereafter. आप समझाइए कि उन्होंने वो जो उन्होंने मना किया उसको, like he was like a sheikh and a teacher, कि भाई ये ना लाना, don't bring for me in the silver jug or silver vessel. So he threw back at him and he said, I would have not done it, I would have told it. So this is sometimes there's a benefit in the harsh attitude, which is for only from the outward form is harsh, of the Prophet when with him punishment to rebuke them, to the teachers when they are, or the parents when they are admonishing and warning their children, and other teachers, the Mashayikh actually disciplining their disciples. So this attitude comes in a benefit, and brings benefit for them in some way, and it is local. Another incident, the same, says, I went out with Hudaifa, one of these areas, and he asked for something to drink. This is hadith related in a Musnad Ahmad. A person brought him a vessel of silver and he, Hazrat Huzaifa radiallahu ta'ala anhu, threw in his face. And we said, be quiet, be quiet. If we ask why he did it, he might not tell us. So we were quiet. Well, can you imagine the wisdom of the student or the other companion? उन्होंने वो उसके मुंह पे दे मारा. That is how sometimes the relationship of the mashayikh and the disciple, the teacher and the student are tested. अगर तो वो outward there is no sincerity, he will just run away because he will, the inward hatred or insincerity will be apparent and that will cause separation, and through that separation they will not benefit. Like this companion said that don't ask him why he did it, because then he will say that these people are making objection on myself. They are not in a position to take benefit from me, but they are in a position of arguing or challenging my action. But they knew that this is a companion of Rasulullah. He was the most person who was near Rasulullah, and he was the person who held secrets of Rasulullah. Hazrat Huzaifa even knew the names of munafiqeen name by name. Prophet gave him full list of the munafiqeen. Hazrat Huzaifa radiallahu ta'ala anhu, the companion of Rasulullah, was a disclose such secrets by Prophet which were not given to other companions. And that's why Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala asked many times Hazrat Huzaifa in his reign when he was caliph, that, oh Huzaifa, Please, please do tell me that if my name is also in the list of munafiqeen so that I can reform myself or repent or whatever I can. And he said, your name is not. So can you imagine the people who say that we have seen a good dream, we are bad, or we are from the descendant of a Wali, we have seen Prophet in the dream, and self-likeness is occurring. Imagine the people who have fought in the battle with Rasulullah and to the battle in the battle of Badr, where Rasulullah said that maybe Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has looked at the people of battle of Badr and said, whatever you do, you are forgiven. Yeah. So he, رضي الله تعالى عنه, سيدنا عمر, was asking that my name is in the munafiqeen. There are seven types of munafiqeen. Now me and you, maybe you only know one or two. And that's why we think we are not from them. There are seven types of munafiqeen. So Hazrat Umar رضي الله تعالى عنه was not person who had any shortcoming with his iman and with but there are seven categories of munafiqeen, and you can fit anyone if you reflect yourself, and maybe there are, if you do introspection, that you are amongst them, and then one should have concern to put oneself right. So when you hear the name of Abdullah ibn Abi ibn Salud, munafiqeen of Rasulullah's time, don't just actually focus on them. They have reached their destination which was their destination. Focus on yourself. Are there any traces left in you? Or are you in those six or seven kind of munafiqeen ke bhi? Hazrat Umar رضي الله تعالى, it was his vastness of knowledge that why he was asking Hazrat Huzaifa. And his fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why he was asking. It was not a joke. So imagine Hazrat Umar must have thought something, then a question would have come. Didn't he know that he was the one of the 10 people who have been given good news of paradise in this world? And the Prophet said that I have two ministers in heaven and two ministers on the earth. Minister, my ministers in heaven, Sayyidina Jibreel, Sayyidina Mikael, and on the earth, Sayyidina Abu Bakr and Sayyidina Umar and Abu Bakr and Umar رضي الله تعالى. And Prophet said that I, on the night of Miraj, I saw the palace of Hazrat Umar رضي الله تعالى in paradise. It was, his name was written. And I wanted to enter it, but I then did not enter because Hazrat Umar رضي الله تعالى was a very sensitive person. The Prophet knew in this sense that there was his wives or whores or other thing in it. And Prophet said, because of your error, I did not enter. And the Umar رضي الله تعالى cried and weeped and said, how Rasulullah, how can I have error on yourself? So, even knowing all these things, why he was asking, that's the point to figure out. Because we only know one type of munafiq, and maybe we don't understand that type very well as well. And Hazrat Umar knew very well that different kinds of munafiqeen and different parts of nifaq which can come, even though you have it. So people who say we have self-likeness because we have praying five times a day and tahajjud par rahe hain, it is their ignorance. Hame khab aa gayi hai, hame kashf ho gaya hai. So, what to say about a person who in real life lived with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Rasulullah not in the khab, not in the kashf, not in the mushahidat, but in his physical life on the face of the earth, he gave them the good news tidings of paradise. And the Quran is praising them as well. So those people are. So, kabhi bhi Allah fa'alu lima yureed hai. He can make any decision for you. You don't know what's in his knowledge for you. So one should have fear. So this companion, of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that be quiet, don't make objection on Hazrat Huzaifa because he has thrown some towards the face of someone, a vessel. When you will argue with him, then you will not benefit from him. So this means when the teacher and the shaykh and any elder say such a thing, which you know that he does not have any hatred or he does not want to cause any harm to you, there must be a purpose, and if you be patient, you will benefit from why he has done it. But if you hasten, and if you are very quick to respond, oh, who are you? It is my life. It is my, I know my rights, and this kind of thing. Then you will lose. Then there will be a barrier. The flow of benefit will stop to you, because you yourself have stopped it. Have you seen that when Adam alayhi salam to Allah Paak ne kaha, Alam nahakum an tilkum ash-shajarata. Adam, did I not forbid you not to go near that tree? To Adam alayhi salam ne Allah taala ko kuch nahi kaha, rabbana zalamna anfusana, he completely said that Allah taala, I have wronged myself, aap maaf kar dein, illam taqbal, if you do not forgive us, we will be losers. Although he had lot of things to say which are present in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself says, وَقَاسَمَهُمَا إِنِّي لَكُمَ لَمِنَ النَّاسِ. And the shaitan swore by the name of Allah that I am your well-wisher, please do eat this tree. And the fruit of this tree, you will become angels, or you will become people living forever and ever. So Adam alayhi salam could easily say, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I never wanted to do any sin, or to actually not carry out your command. Although Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave a certificate himself, فَنَسْيَ آدَمُ, in another verse of the Quran. جو ایک ورس پڑھتا ہے اس کو نہیں پتا چلتا قرآن کیا کہہ رہا ہے آدم. ایک میں ہے کہ آدم علیہ السلام کو اللہ سبحانہ کہہ رہے ہیں میں کیوں کھایا دیتا ہے, why you went near the tree. And another اللہ سبحانہ فَنَسْيَ آدَمُ, آدم forgot completely. فَلَمْ نَجِدَ لَهُ عَزْمَا, he we found no traces of intention of our disobedience in his heart and mind, ever. And never it occurs to any prophet. So another Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is certifying him. In the second, in the Surah Al-A'raf, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Shaitan, how he seduced Adam alayhi salam to that. And so Adam alayhi salam had very good two points which are evident from the Quran to say. But he did not say, he did not defend himself. Because then the benefit which was to come from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the concept of tawbah, فَتَلَقَّى آدَمُ مِنْ رَبِّهِ كَلِمَاتٍ فَتَابَ عَلَيْكَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, I reveal such words to Adam through which I will accept his acceptance, repentance. Would benefit, that benefit, that the flow of guidance would have stopped them. And it is very clear from the shaitan and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, قَالَ إِبْلِيسُ مَا مَنَا كَانْ تَحْتُدَ لِمَا. O Iblis, why have you not prostrated? What stopped you from prostrating, carrying out my command to Adam? He said now, أَنَا خَيْرٌ مِّنْهُ, I am better and I am created from. So he gave his clarification. Then Allah said, فَخْرُ جَفَوَا فَإِنَّكَ رَجِيمٌ, تُمْ دُورُ هُو لَانَتِي فَإِنَّا عَلِكَ لَانَتِي لَا يُعْنِ الدِّينِ. So کوئی بھی بڑا parent, father, mother, teacher, sheikh, any elder, who you know, they are well-wisher of yours and they are not in your ill will, they don't have an ill will against you. Whenever they see their attitude going a little bit harsh or anything, tolerate it and be patient, and then they will benefit actually coming after it, accompanied with it, why they are saying it. But if you flare the situation by just by the reaction of your nafs, then that will stop, and something will happen with what happened with shaitan. What would have been the situation if shaitan would have said the same thing? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows better, but we can see what Adam alayhi salam happened to Adam alayhi salam. And what happened to every servant, whoever wants to repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So to lie blame on others, that this person is doing, I am lazy because this person held me here. All these excuses of doing sin will not do any good. First and foremost is to accept the blame very quickly, and then inshallah the situation will be put right and will rectify the matter. So they stayed quiet, very quiet, a little while later, when he said, thought that these people have not responded, the companion of the Rebbe said, a little while later he said, do you know why I threw in his face this vessel? We said no. Ab dekhe wo phir keh rahe hain no, they are negating here, so that they want the point or the benefit or the jewel of guidance behind that harshness, which is only in the harshness in the poem, but out of love. So they are negating, they want that to flow in. They don't want to put any barrier in it. So okay, yes, we know because we acted by your nafs. You did not know how to be lenient. Don't you know Rasulullah was very lenient with the person who urinated in the mosque? And he just given you the vessel and you threw at his face. So this is not the right approach. So the companion of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "We said no, we don't know." He said, "I had told not to do it. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, 'Do not drink from the vessel of gold.' And Muaz said, 'Do not drink from vessels of gold and silver, and do not wear silk and brocade. They are for them in this world, meaning kuffar, and for you in the hereafter.'" So try to draw lessons from the approach when you adopt, when you are going to your teacher, or when you are teaching someone. So there is a way actually to teach as well in there, where you can exert such pressure, such behavior with such some people, which will benefit them more. Now what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did with Adam alayhi salam, it benefited him more. He was not a Khalifa at that time, but he came Khalifa afterward when he was descendant of the earth. There are some other ahadith on the similar line, just emphasizing on the same point which I said, taking position into account, the position of the person who is counseling, preaching, or the preacher, enjoining good or forbidding evil. He should always consider as well his position as well. Another hadith. Marwan was one of the Abdul Malik bin Marwan and father, one of the caliphs of time. Father of a caliph, and he lived with a companion Tabi, and he was high position in the society from the ruling party, as you can say, at that time. One of the companions, this is a hadith in Nisa'i, reported from Abu Sa'id Khudri radiallahu ta'ala, that he was praying when a son of Marwan came in front of him. So he checked him. Wo namaz padh rahe the, wo aage se guzar rahe. And when he did not go back, he hit him. The boy went out crying and went to Marwan and told him what had happened. Marwan asked Abu Sa'id, "Why did you hit the son of your brother?" Ab dekhe, ye bhi ek etiquette hai. The companion is teaching something, because they knew that it's our duty to preach everything which we have heard from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they were always in search of those opportunities through which they can actually convey the message arising from different situations. So if Marwan said to the Hazrat Abu Sa'id Khudri, that why have you hit the son of your brother? He said, "I did not hit him." I did not hit him. تو اگر بندہ کہے بھائی نعوذ باللہ کمپانین جو ہے وہ اگر بھرمار کرتا آپ نعوذ باللہ کمپانین ہو کے جھوٹ بول رہے ہیں شیطان میں تو شیطان کو مارا سب مرمان کہتا آپ نے میرے بیٹے کو شیطان کہہ دیا ہے میں شیطان کا باپ ہوا کہ I was saying that why you hit the son of your brother تو آپ نے ملک شیطان بنا دیا ہے what is this آپ کو آپ صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم نعوذ باللہ یہی ٹیچنگ دی تھی کبھی شیطان کو نعوذ باللہ this is a great lesson for us from learning from people of knowledge and the teacher elders from elders even though they don't have knowledge you can still learn many things their experiences from their life where they have suffered if you stay in good behavior with them, maybe they tell you something which you never learned from books or any people, person of knowledge. So, yeah, he said, I hate the shaitan. He did not say, no, you hate my son. My son is shaitan. And then after Hazrat Ubay Sayyid Khudri said, I heard from the messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if anyone of you is praying and someone wants to pass in front of him, let him stop as much as he can. In the hadith, the words are from qital. Now some of these self-made actually, Salafi, they say that they should actually kill the person. Qital also means use stop. To fight, to actually stop as much as you can. It's a context, to use in a certain context. Let him stop as much as he can, and if he refuses, then fight him, for he is a devil. So, I said to him, I stopped him, and he did not, I hit him. He is a devil, absolutely, I am a shaitan. Now, there is a very such a point in the hadith, that shaitan are not only in the jinn. Shaitan is not a creation which is created just as shaitan. It is a certain quality. If anyone adopts them amongst the jinn or the human, they become in the definition of shaitan. Shaitan ye nahi hai jo nazar nahi aata. A person who is inviting you towards evil, who is putting, whispering these thoughts in the bad company, wo shaitan hai. ان کو دیکھ آؤ بلا شیطان رجی پڑھو اللہ کا پناہ مانگو تو ایسے اور سورت ناس میں بھی ہے من الجنات والناس من شر الوسواس الخناس اور ایسی کہتی ہوں کہ اللہ سبحانہ و تعالی فرام دی وسپرز اف دی خناس اللہ دی وسوسہ فی صدور الناس دی وسپرز دی تھاٹس ہی انسپائرز ان پیپلز ہارٹس چیسٹ من الجنات والناس جنات جنوں میں بھی شیطان ہے انسانوں میں بھی شیطان ہے So shaitan is not a person that only jinns can be shaitan. Anything which invites you away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his commands, he will become shaitan. Shaitan himself was not shaitan first. He was a pious person, outwardly obedient person. But when he adopted the quality of calling Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's command, like seducing Adam alayhi salam, and not listening to the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then he became shaitan. So, Abu Sayyid Khudri, when he said this, Ram was very happy. He said, I learned the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he also admonished his son. And he also learned. And that is why this hadith is coming to us. That company had not stopped, and not said, ہمیں پتہ ہی نہ چلا بھی آپ صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم نے کیا فرمایا. کیا ٹائم ہو گیا؟ امام احمد رپورٹس ان ہز مسند میں اللہ مرسی انہیں ابو النضر دیٹ ابو سعید خدری اگین another same companion was suffering from a sore leg and his brother came in and saw him lying with one leg crossed over the other So he hit him on the sore leg. His brother was elder than him, making it hurt even more. Ab dekhe, ab one companion is hitting. He has also certain, you can say, reverence and esteem in the community of the companion. And also he's a companion. The other is also a companion, but his elder brother. So he's sitting, you already have a sore leg, and he's coming to actually just to see how he is. Bimar kursi ke liye aa rahe hain. So bimar kursi ke liye to, you know, kya haal hai aapka, how are you? But he, when he entered the room, he hit him on the sore leg, the very leg which was sore, making it hurt even more. He said, you hurt my leg, didn't you know it is sore? He said, of course I knew. Aap dekhen, phir unka, of course I knew. And then now the other one, the companion, Abu Sayyid Khudri himself, a great companion, did not again look at that. But when you knew it, why did you hit it? Etc. Or did not become angry, such reaction. Because he knew his brother and that he would not do this. He said, did you not hear that? So they accepted. He said, very thankful, obviously. So, bhai, you have, aapne mujhe bhi bataya thi, aap sallallahu alaihi wasallam ki talimat. Imam Malik, in his Mota Imam Malik, jo hadith ki badi sabse, yani the present books, pehli kitab, aur bhi hai, lekin this is one of the first compiled. First century, in the first two centuries here. Imam Malik reported that Abu Zubair al-Makki, from Abu Zubair al-Makki, that a man proposed marriage to another man's sister. So one person is proposing marriage to another man's sister. So, I want to marry, propose marry people to his brother. And he, the brother, told him that she had, he okay, very fine, but she had committed zina once. Aap dekhe. Ke unhone wo shaadi ki propose kar rahe hain, and they are out of good intention, ke bhai, I should make him aware of it, ke bhai, so that he is not left in darkness, but she had. Marry, if you want to marry her, you know, he had committed zina. News of this reached Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala. So he hit him, or nearly hit him, and said, why did you tell him? Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala had more even wisdom. So the first person is also out of good intention and being sincere. Look at that, book kar raha hai. No one tells any bad thing about his sister, mother, anything. Woe out of his duty of responsibility. But Umar رضي الله تعالى عنه, who had greater wisdom and was the most knowledgeable companion after Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq رضي الله تعالى عنه, he said he hit him and became displeased with him and said, why did you tell him? بھی آپ نے کیوں بتایا ہوا ہے why کہ اللہ پاک نے ایک عیب چھپایا ہوا ہے اللہ سبحانہ وتعالی veiled a person's عیب there was no hadith because if it was known in public then there would have been hadith and shari hadith so it's for unveiling a Muslim or a Muslimah's sin which Allah سبحانہ وتعالی veiled and have not made open is secret it is sin itself Allah سبحانہ وتعالی has covered his sin, then it is not allowed, not even to disclose your own sin, that side of the person's sin. Agar aapne koi gunah kiya hai, to swaye apne murshid ke or any person there is sharia allowed, ye nahi keh sakte, haan haan, for example, someone says, ke bhai, aapne namaz padhi hai, namaz padh lo ya nahi padhi hai, so in spite of in the normal, in public gathering, saying, I will never do two sins. One is to lie, and one I have not prayed. I have not prayed. Well, this person is inciting disobedience in the community. That time you should say quiet and not say that I don't pray. So, but if anything becomes public, then obviously it is different, and then the Sharia hadith also or tazir is applied as well. But if, as long as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has covered you, Prophet in another Buzurg, another Tabi says, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has covered your sin, He will cover your sins, inshallah. Forgive them on the day of judgment. But if you disclose them, then there will be other people witness on it. Then on the Qiyamah you will maybe have to be punished by the law. But if it's a matter between you and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it's a different matter. There is a story in the books. Sayyidina Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. There was drought, no rain, famine, and Hazrat Musa alayhi salam came with his companions and other people to pray. When they came there to pray, after praying, there was Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spoke to Hazrat Musa alayhi salam through revelation, wahi, that the people who have prayed for rain, they will not, it will not be accepted, because there is one person amongst them who have done a sin, such sin, for example. Until that person is there, your prayer will not be accepted. So Musa alayhi salam, that this is there's a person amongst us, because of that time the rain has stopped. So that person knew who he was, obviously. So he was fearing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Musa alayhi salam is a prophet, and he might know this, his matter will be disclosed. So as Musa alayhi salam said, that let you, all of you, we shall all repent. So all of the seen repented very sincerely. And then the dua was accepted. And after, while Hazrat Musa alayhi salam, because that person was doing ghibat, wo ghibat karta tha. Logon ki buraiyan karta tha, ye bahut bada gunah hai. There are five situations where you can do ghibat or ghibat. The sin of ghibat is lifted. Five situations. Know them by heart, so that you, on the top of your mind, you know it when the situation of five, you can do what you can say or not. Otherwise, the world will be confused and you might be stepping into these sinful act of giving. There are five situations where, inshallah, after a while you can ask me, or ask me in a book where it is mentioned. Five or six situations that you can do ghibat, in the sense that it is allowed in Sharia. So when dua was accepted, the rain, Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that the dua was accepted, the rain has actually poured. Can you please let me know who is this person? Who is this person? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to the nearest being, O Musa, that how can I say such thing which I have forbade my servants to do as well? मैंने तो उसको कहा वो गीबत करता है, someone is doing गीबत, तो मैं, उसने तोबा कर लिया, तो मैं उसकी बराई, I will not disclose his name to you. I will preserve the honor of my servant who has repented. अब देखें मूसा अलैहि सलाम को अल्लाह पाक ने बताया, अल्लाह पाक ने मैं जिस काम से मैं आपको मना, मैं खुद क्यों करूं? वो दूसरों की बुराई कर रहा है, and he has repented, I have forgiven him, I will not disclose. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is teaching a lesson and doing training of the companions and the Musa alayhi salam. So matter again, that any sin which is disclosed in public or by in teaching and by enjoining good friends, do not make it public. If anything is in secret, leave it in secret. Any sin done in public should be repented publicly. If any sin committed secretly should be also repent, and you should repent secretly as well. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive you, inshallah, if you fulfill the condition of tawbah. Muslim reported in his Sahih from Abu Ishaq, who said, I was with Al-Aswad ibn Yazid in the great mosque. And Shaabi told us about what Fatima bint Qais had said about the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam not providing housing or an income for her. Al-Aswad took a handful of pebbles and threw them at him, saying, woe to you, you talk about something like this. Umar said, we should not leave the book of Allah and the sunnah of our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for the word of a woman who we cannot be sure has remembered things properly or not. Women have the right to accommodation and an income. Allah says the meaning, and turn them not out of their homes, nor shall they themselves leave, except in the case they are guilty of some open, illegal sexual intercourse. Surah Talaq. So there is a lesson here, 12 scholars are giving. Okay, the Quran and Hadith and other lady companion of Rasulullah is also mentioning Hadith, that I have this and this. So this is sometimes the difference between a mujtahid and a normal self-study person. Okay, wo kal maine hadith padhi hai Bukhari mein, ye likha hua, aap ye kya imam of mujtahid is saying, Hazrat Umar رضی اللہ عنہ, why? Because he's a mujtahid, said we can not leave just because out of his wisdom, but who insight which was given to him, he could see and light up other Quranic text and hadith. That what she is saying is either she is not actually wrong, she might have right intention, but maybe she has actually forgot, not remembered very well. So there is a guidance for us, indication given to follow the scholars who are rightly guided or are mujtahid, and to trust on them as well. Hazrat Imam Abu Dawood reported with an isnad in which two men are maqbool and two men entered from the door of Kinda, when Abu Masood, an Ansari, was sitting in a circle, the two men said, is there any man who will judge between us? There might be a dispute or disagreement. Is there any man who can be judged between us? A man in the circle said, I will. Abu Masood took a handful of pebbles and threw them at him, saying, keep your mouth quiet. It is disliked to hasten to judgment. But the training they have received from Rasulullah to actually is it. There is a vast amount of guidance in this hadith. Two men are present. They're saying, who will make judgment? Because whatever judgment you make, if it's not according to Sharia, or you are not in a position to make the judgment, you don't have necessary knowledge, you will be the person responsible on the day of judgment. And here as well, then thing goes wrong. So not hasten to think about it, maybe. Let aside people like me and you, okay, they never hear directly from the people, two parties concerned. Only one person is saying, Brother Bashir comes and said, such a person was saying this, so this happened. And I just believe, oh yes, achha, so ye hai, woh galt usne kiya hai. Woh galt hai, woh gumrah hai. Ye hai, and we pass over judgment. Then this companion is saying, in spite of people are present, both parties, then even don't hasten, think about it. Do you require the necessary, have the necessary condition, fulfill the condition or the knowledge to actually pass judgment of knowledge? Koi masla ko poochta hai kisi se, humara ikhtilaf ho gaya hai. To main mufti ban dun foran. To, ki bhai, it is matter of great concern. Ki Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi was martyred only for this reason, because the caliph wanted to be him the chief justice of whole the caliphate of Muslim world, imagine. The caliph is saying that Imam Abu Hanifa, we see those people, ki bhai Imam Abu Hanifa was sitting in comfort and tranquility with taqiyya ke saath rehte aur woh hadith padha rahe the, fiqh likh rahe the, ye nahi unhone jail mein kitna padhaya hai, in the prison. Imam Abu Yusuf, Imam or any other student, I have heard that they became his student or learned. People went with their books and notebooks to the prison and to learn, and they became imams actually by just learning in the prison. So, is tarah unhone din ki khidmat ki hai. We saw ki comfort mein baith ke to everyone was coming to them and praising them and kissing their hand and is tarah.
بڑی مشکل ہے.
Another imam of the hadith, imam Abu Dawud, or there is such imam, great imam of hadith, or imam Ibn Majah, one of them, I do not remember, recall correctly, one of the imams of hadith, who was a great scholar, and he was imprisoned in a well by a caliph. They had a disagreement, the caliph was saying something to him, and he was right in what he was saying, and he did not, you can say, bow down to the falsehood. The caliph had imprisoned him in a well. Abhi ji, jo hadaya tha, as far as I remember, the book of the fiqh of Hanfi, which is most famous, that book, or any other book of fiqh of Hanfi, a great volume, that book actually was written by his students, but it was taught by him by sitting in the well. He was down at the well sitting in prison, and the students used to go and sit outside the well on the ground. وہ وہاں پڑھتے تھے, نیچے سے سنتے تھے, دکھتے تھے, and then ask questions. These are people who have done the خدمت of deen, and they have a reason. That's why their names are living now. تو ہمیں اگر استاد کی خدمت کرنی پڑ گئی ہے, کوئی کھانا دینا پڑ گیا ہے استاد کو, or the teacher have said something harshly, why you have come late, کیوں اس نے پوچھا ہے. These deep type of attitude, behavior, these people never learn anything. تو استاد کا بہت یعنی بڑا احترام, اور یہ جاتے وہاں اور بیٹھتے ہیں. They knew the value of it. If people are running behind, thousands and millions of people are running behind a person, don't just become tempted and say, because 100,000 people are with him, so we should also receive, and he will be the right person. Maybe the person, the truthful person, have no one, even one person in his company, two person in his company. Because the people of truth, actually, mostly they have a strong opposition in their lifetime. Because falsehood prevails, then they are the one lamp of truth. And then the far people are actually against them mostly. تو بٹ آئی واز سیئنگ یو کہ بھائی یہ جو امام ابو داؤد رحمت اللہ علیہ نے ہی تھرو فیبلز ٹو دیم اینڈ ہی سیڈ ڈونٹ ہیسن ٹو ججمنٹ لائک پروفیٹ صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم آلسو سیڈ ٹو نیر سنی دیٹ ون پرسن کم ود آئی فلپ آؤٹ ان ہز فرنٹ آف ہز ہینڈ اینڈ سے او مائی بردر لک دیٹ پر سچ سچ پرسن ہیز ٹیکن مائی آئی آؤٹ آف مائی ساکٹ ہیئر اٹ از وٹ یو سی اباؤٹ And Prophet صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم said that never pass judgment until you hear the other person as well. Maybe he has taken his both of his eyes out. ہاں اسی طرح ہوتا ہے. When you listen to people by just this said thing, this person said this, this person said this, a rumor, at the end of the day there is nothing behind it maybe. That's why Prophet صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم قَفَابِ الْمَرْءِ قَذِبًا أَن يُحَدِّثَ بِكُلِّ مَا سَمِعَ that it is sufficient for a person to be called a liar if he only passes whatever he hears, keeps hearing from people without verification, and he passes to the that person said this, and this person, when it's asked, that person said this, that person said this, and to wo baat nahi hoti hai. Maybe the truth is not there. So never pass judgment, never hasten. We should also note that the Prophet صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم rebuking of some of the his closest companions who are close to him very much on occasions were harsher than his rebuking of a Bedouin. The Bedouin came and urinated there in the mosque, and Prophet صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم said that. Now if that had done by a closer companion who was all the time with Prophet صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم, or actually the attitude of Prophet, or the behavior of Prophet صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم would have not been the same. One of the closer companions was on occasion harsher than he being a Bedouin, for example, or a stranger. So we made this mention. All of this has to do with wisdom and proper evaluation of rebuking, which we are learning now. So we covered now the point of making, taking into your own position of the counselor or the preacher or the forbidder of evil and enjoiner of good. He should take in position in his own into account, first of all, as well, then doing it. taking into account the other person's position, that is a separate point which we will cover. So next point which we will cover, inshallah, is the making distinction between one who errs out of ignorance and one who makes mistakes or commits sin despite his knowledge. Samjhari? So ye next time, inshallah, we have cover karenge. So try to draw practical lesson from it and imply it, implement in your practical life, in your house, in your family, with your brother, other people. So these points reverberate in your mind somewhere in the heart, then you can benefit from the guidance as well. Because Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we can directly not hear from him as companion did. So maybe up to now we have only heard 1,000th part of his guidance. And on that guidance we will be living our life, so it will be a life which is not full in compliance with Sharia. So the more and more ahadith and more lessons you can draw from them and illuminate your inner self, and then inshallah your outer self will also follow suit. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك اشهد ان لا اله الا انت استغفرك واتوب اليك. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive us if we said anything wrong, and all right and goodness is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Any question? We baat aap ne puchi. Yes. We do not make any distinction as such in them. They are both from Rasul, and they are Sahib-e-Wahi and Sahib-e-Kitab, Sahib-e-Sharia bhi hai unki. So, jo hai, yani they both are very such held in high esteem. That is the thing I was saying to you, that do not pass judgment. And normal people have that side passing judgment in the prophets by kaun afzal hai, kaun maqbool hai. But yeh wo sahab wo rasool the, bas yahi kaafi hai hamare liye. Allah ne unko farmaya, dekho Quran Majeed mein Allah Pak ne bhi is tarah nahi kaha ki mera yeh paighambar afzal hai, yeh nahi afzal hai. Ab dekhen Quran Majeed, yeh mujhe de, main aapko dikhaunga. Yeh English ka Quran Majeed hai. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the third para begins from this. Tilka rusulu fazzalna ba'dahum ala ba'd minhum man kallama Allah wa rafa'a ba'dahum darajat wa atayna Isa ibn Maryam al-bayyinat ayyadnahu ruha al-qudus. All these messengers and apostles, of them we have exalted some above others. To some of them Allah spoke directly, some others he raised in degrees of rank. And we gave Jesus, son of Mary, clear sign, and we aided him with the Holy Spirit. Ab samajh aa gaya? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there are Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knowledge, there are great, but look how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is mentioning the prophet. He's not mentioning this is afdal, this is not afdal, but mentioning in different degree that they have different, each have different qualities, and they are both high. To some Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spoke directly, to some Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala raised their ranks. And like Isa ibn Maryam was helped by assisted by the Holy Spirit, angel Gabriel. So, kisi ke liye dekh liye unke darjaat hain. So, ye distinction nahi karne se la nufarriq baina ahadin min rusul, hum itni distinction nahi karte. It is not right to do. And one of the golden rule I would say to you is, if you say anything about any prophet, just think about one thing, scenario, and then say whatever you want. Think that all the prophets are present there in this gathering, and what you are saying about them, they are here. So whatever you will say, then it will be. If you can say whatever you can say in all their company. Don't degrade one prophet by comparing it with other. Fazail bayan kare aap. Ye aap sab Allah ke rasool hain, Allah ke habib hain. موسیٰ علیہ السلام کلیم اللہ ہے، عیسیٰ علیہ السلام روح اللہ ہے. کیونکہ ایک دفعہ ایک یہودی کا ہے بخاری شریف میں، بخاری شریف میں حدیث کہ once جو حضرت ابوبکر صدیق had an argument that who is more superior prophet، تو یہودی نے کہا موسیٰ علیہ السلام سپیریئر ہیں، حضرت ابوبکر صدیق نے کہا نہیں ہمارے نبی صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم. تو یہودی نے جب یہ کہا آپ حضرت ابوبکر صدیق رضی اللہ تعالیٰ سلیپ تھے ہمارے get out of control. When it matters are presented by to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, do not give me such superiority in this way when I compare and degrade over other prophets. Was Abu Bakr Siddiq as well? And he said, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned after Dhaila of Musa, he said, when I will be raised on the day of judgment, I will see Hazrat Musa alayhi salam before me actually being raised. Maybe Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said his unconscious fell unconscious when Allah Subhanahu Wa Taala did tajalli on him on Kohe Tur. Maybe that unconsciousness actually compensated him and freed him from the behoshi or the unconsciousness of the day of judgment. So Prophet Sallam specified after Zayd of Musa alayhi salam and also said. So with that, our ulama has said that in such sense do not prefer or give superiority to one prophet while degrading the other. Yes, you can mention the fazail of the Prophet Khatam and Nabijin. Musa alayhi salam kareemullah, wo is tarah koi haraj nahi hai. To agar us tarah nahi karna chahiye. Wherever you find in the Quran, you will find a very good you can say a matter to learn from the Quran is how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned all the prophets in different verses of the Quran. Or push anything?
Is there a distinction between a Rasul and a Nabi?
Wo to hai a distinction in definition. کہ بھائی وہ ایک کو کتاب ملتی ہے، دوسرے کو وحی ملتی ہے، صرف جو ہے وہ شریعت پوائنٹ آف ویو ڈسٹنکشن فرام دیٹ دے ہیو رسولز ہیو ان اوور یو کین سے اول سپریریٹی اوور انبیاء علیہ الصلوۃ والسلام اینڈ دین فرام انبیاء علیہ السلام دیر آر سیون رسول ہو ہیو جیسے نوح علیہ السلام، ابراہیم علیہ السلام، موسیٰ علیہ السلام، عیسیٰ علیہ السلام، پرافیٹ صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم، حضرت آدم علیہ السلام. And then from then five are Ulul Azm Rasul. Then there are actually, so there are, but mentioned by name and degrade some, and actually that is making distinction between them. So hum jaise sai yahudi karte hain ke they believe in one prophet do not believe in the other, hate one not Musa alaihi salam ka mana trying to kill Jesus Christ, may peace be upon him, and slander about him, and they killed many prophets as well. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in the Quran. So golden rule is, just imagine if the prophets are mentioned here on the day of judgment, and you are asked to do a speech, or you are asked to comment, for example. First, it is not appropriate, but I'm saying that do your speech as such that it is not, does not offend in your sense in any way. Then Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam will not be pleased with you, because all the prophets, they are brothers. Rasulullah said that they are my brothers. But a lot of details in the status and superiority of the agent, office and agency of prophethood, one cannot imagine these people. They are blessed people in the mad world of souls even before coming here. لیسن یہ تھا کہ ڈو ناٹ ڈسکلوز دا سیکرٹ آف یور سیلف وچ یو ہیو کمیٹڈ اینی سین سیکرٹلی اینڈ ناٹ آف ادرز ایز ویل آف یور فیملی اینڈ یور بردر ٹو ادر پیپل اف دے ہیو ڈیفینڈڈ. یہ تھا ہاں ہاں ان شاء اللہ آفٹر مغرب ان شاء اللہ.
people to go out and do something, and the people to return on an anonymity.
No.
Does that count against the first thing, say, then Spanish and all this?
No, it is there included as well. Because of some, their forefathers have done something wrong, we do not hold them responsible as such. We dislike them or we say that is also based on goodness so that they bring iman and they also deserve paradise. In our sense, we have this in the mind. But we do not hold anything. If they've done, their forefathers have done anything wrong, it is not allowed to actually on that way to hate someone for his father. But that is what I am teaching you, how we use this harshness. All these are ways mentioned, the hadith which we have covered. They can sometimes take form of just anger by form, by speaking loudly, admonishing, by not actually showing your displeasure in some way. So it can take many forms. That is the form we discussed in the hadith which we have covered. There are different forms. Like,